Some animals absolutely prospered, including, a little surprisingly, the turtles once again. As Flannery notes, the period immediately after the dinosaur extinction could well be known as the Age of Turtles. 16 species survived in North America, and 3 more came into existence soon after. Clearly it helped to be at home in water. The KT impact wiped out almost 90% of land-based species, but only 10% of those living in fresh water. Water obviously offered protection against heat and flame, but also, presumably, provided more sustenance in the lean period that followed. All the land-based animals that survived had a habit of retreating to a safer environment during times of danger, into water or underground, either of which would have provided considerable shelter against the ravages without. Animals that scavenged for a living would also have enjoyed an advantage. Lizards were, and are, largely impervious to the bacteria in rotting carcasses. Indeed, often they are positively drawn to it, and for a long while there were clearly a lot of putrid carcasses about. It is often wrongly stated that only small animals survived the KT event. In fact, among the survivors were crocodiles, which were not just large, but 3 times larger than they are today. But on the whole, it is true, most of the survivors were small and furtive. Indeed, with the world dark and hostile, it was a perfect time to be small, warm-blooded, nocturnal, flexible in diet, and cautious by nature, the very qualities that distinguished our mammalian forebears. Had our evolution been more advanced, we would probably have been wiped out. Instead, mammals found themselves in a world to which they were as well suited as anything alive. However, it wasn't as if mammals swarmed forward to fill every niche. "Evolution may abhor a vacuum," wrote the paleobiologist Stephen M. Stanley, "but it often takes a long time to fill it. For perhaps as many as 10 million years, mammals remained cautiously small. In the early tertiary, if you were the size of a bobcat, you could be king. But once they got going, mammals expanded prodigiously, sometimes to an almost preposterous degree. For a time, there were guinea pigs the size of rhinos, and rhinos the size of a 2-story house. Wherever there was a vacancy in the predatory chain, mammals rose, often literally, to fill it. Early members of the raccoon family migrated to South America, discovered a vacancy, and evolved into creatures the size and ferocity of bears. Birds, too, prospered disproportionately. For millions of years, a gigantic, flightless, carnivorous bird called Titanus was possibly the most ferocious creature in North America. Certainly, it was the most daunting bird that ever lived. It stood 10 feet high, weighed over 800 pounds, and had a beak that could tear the head off pretty much anything that irked it. Its family survived in formidable fashion for 50 million years, yet until a skeleton was discovered in Florida in 1963, we had no idea that it had ever existed. Which brings us to another reason for our uncertainty about extinctions, the paltriness of the fossil record. We have touched already on the unlikelihood of any set of bones becoming fossilized, but the record is actually worse than you might think. Consider dinosaurs. Museums give the impression that we have a global abundance of dinosaur fossils. In fact, overwhelmingly, museum displays are artificial. The giant Diplodocus that dominates the entrance hall of the Natural History Museum in London, and has delighted and informed generations of visitors, is made of plaster, built in 1903 in Pittsburgh, and presented to the museum by Andrew Carnegie. The entrance hall of the American Museum of Natural History in New York is dominated by an even grander tableau, a skeleton of a large Barosaurus defending her baby from attack by a darting and toothy Allosaurus. It is a wonderfully impressive display. The Barosaurus rises perhaps 30 feet toward the high ceiling, but also entirely fake. Every one of the several hundred bones in the display is a cast. Visit almost any large natural history museum in the world, in Paris, Vienna, Frankfurt, Buenos Aires, Mexico City, and what will greet you are antique models, not ancient bones.